Okay, so we're on Yud Aleph, Chamed Aleph. We got to. Wait, how far did we get? We're still on Yud Aleph Beis. Sorry, last line of Yud Aleph Beis. That's where we are. Very last line. Says the Gemara, Man Tana Laha, who is the author of the following Braisa? Tana Rabbanan says the Braisa, Kol HaSha'arim Shehayusham, all the gates that were there, which Rashi says, Shari Mizrach Azara, the eastern gates of the Azara, of the Beis HaMikdash, that were there. Lo Hayusham Mezuzah, there was no Mezuzah on any of the eastern gates, Chutz Mishar Nikner, except for the Shar Nikner, which is the main entrance into the Beis HaMikdash. Shelefrimi Menu, because within that gate was the Lishchas Parhedrin. So Lishchas Parhedrin, we said before, was a chamber where the Kohen Gadol would stay for 7 days. And everybody was in agreement that there was a mezuzah there. Just the question is what the reason for the mezuzah, but there was definitely a mezuzah, because it was the place where the Kohen Gadol would live. But since the Shar Niknar, the eastern gate, entered into the Lishchas Parhedrin, so therefore that needed a mezuzah. Just like if someone has a gate, let's say, entering into his house, let's say a courtyard, there's a gate into the courtyard, and then the courtyard eventually gets into a person's house, the gate would require a mezuzah, because that ultimately leads into the house. The difficulty is that the Mefarshim asks, the Tosis written particularly asks, if you look in the Maseches Midos, where it tells you all the different gates, there is only one gate on the east, which is Shar Nikner. It sounds, applies from here, Kolash Sha'arim, which Rashi is Shari Mizrach, all the eastern gates did have mezuzah, there's only one eastern gate. That's question one. Question two is, Elishas Parhedrin was not on the east, it was on the southern part of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you look at the Gra, that Os Aleph on the side here, he says it's not supposed to mean Shar Nignor, it's supposed to refer to the Shar Hamayim. Shar Mayim was one of the southern gates that were in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gra is right there, yeah. It means Shar Mayim was the gate of waters, which is where the gate they would go down to get the Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot. So the Shar Mayim, that's the one that had the mezuzah, because right inside the Shar Mayim was where the Lishkas Parhedrin was. And the Rashash further changed the Girsa in Rashi. It doesn't mean to say Shari Mizrach, it meant to say Shari Azara. Just stop. All the gates of the Azara, none of the gates of the Azara had a mezuzah except for the southern gate, which was the Shar Mayim. And that's how we get out of the issues. Now, it seems to be difficult changing two Girsalas around, but that's how they explain the Gemara here. Okay, says the Gemara now, Lei Marabbanan hi v'lo Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe suggests that the author of this Brice is Rabbi Rabbanan and not Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because remember before, Rabbanan held that fundamentally the Lishchas Parhedrin required a mezuzah. Yehuda says it really didn't require a mezuzah, it just, lest people say he's in a jail, you put a mezuzah so people shouldn't say that. It's a gzeirah, so people shouldn't say anything. So suggests that this area, this Shar HaMayim now, is the Rabbanan's opinion. Why? Because if Rabbi Yehuda authored this, doesn't make any sense. He gufa gzeira. The reason why he put a Lishchas Parhedrin, a mezuzah on the Lishchas Parhedrin, is because of a gzeira. Less people say he's in a jail. And then, v'adar nekum v'nigzar gzeira l'gzeira, and we're going to make a second gzeira on top of that and say, not only are we going to put a mezuzah on the Lishchas Parhedrin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but also put one outside Shar HaMayim, that's two different gzeiras. And the concept is, ein gozen gzeira l'gzeira. We don't make double gzeiras. We make one takana, we don't make a takana on top of already existing takana. So it must be Rabbanan is the author of this braisa that had a mezuzah also in Shar HaMayim. Gemara says no. Afilu tam Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda could be the author of this braisa. Kula chada gzeri. It was all one gzera. When they said, "Listen, we're concerned that people are going to say the Kohen Gadol is living in a jail," they said, "Okay, we're going to make one gzera. The gzera will mean put a mezuzah on the Shar HaMayim and put a mezuzah on Lishchas Parhedrin, all one takana." Okay. Says the Gemara now. Tanur Rabbanan quotes a braisa. Now this next blah is going to be a lot of discussion about mezuzah. This is one of the two Iker places in Shas that talk about mezuzah here in Yuma, and then the Gemara's Menachos talk at length also about mezuzah. But this is a very important Gemara here about mezuzah in general. So Tanur Rabbanan b'sharecha. The pasuk says b'sharecha in the context of mezuzah. You have to place the gate, the uchsaftma mezuzah b'sharecha uvisharecha. Right, place mezuzahs on your house and uvisharecha on your gates. So what does it mean uvisharecha? Echad shari batim, whether it's a gate of the house, echad shari chatseros, whether it's a courtyard gate, echad shari medinos, echad shari ayaros, country, city, whatever the gate is, you require yesh behem chovas mitzvah lemakom mishum shenemar uchsaptim al mezuzos besecha uvisharecha. There is a requirement midaraisa to place a mezuzah on all of these gates.
So how come in Beit Hamikdash no?
So that's a good question. So we'll see. There has to be some type of ownership to them where someone lives, a base dira. That's when they require, it's a chovas hadar. The person who lives in the house has to have mezuzah. Since a
what's the purpose of mezuzah and what's the essence of mezuzah to begin with?
So two reasons. So Gemara seems to say the two reasons.
It's a mitzvah, no? To remember that it's Hashem Pasach.
Also, one reason is to remember Hashem, Stam. Not necessarily connected to Mitzrayim. You can connect it also, but Stam is just to remember Hashem. You go in, you look at it, you want to kiss it, you touch it. To remember Hashem, whenever you go in and out, Hashem is always with us.
But it's not from them. It's not divine from Pesach. You commanded to sign the Mitzvot.
There might be an even deeper connection to that. The simple reading of the Pesukim is just you have a mezuzah.
That's not the simple.
There's a connection because they're in the mezuzah, and the mezuzah you put in the pot, you put the blood.
That's why it's mentioned first, to do something on the mezuzah.
Yeah, but you say no, but that mezuzah was just simply a doorpost, not the mezuzah as we call it, with the cloth inside.
I understand, no, it's changed to a bigger thing, but it started from...
No, so again, I'm saying there must be some certain connection, but from the simple reading of the Pesukim and the Gemara and Menachos, the reason why we have mezuzah is to remember Hashem when we go in and out, but Kisasa B'Tziasa...
Yeah, that's the reason, but where did it come from? Only just Stam command all of a sudden Hashem gave us, so started Lezecher.
I don't think Lezecher is there, yeah.
That's the simplest pshat, I would think.
Okay, anyway, the second reason is, and this is very much connected to what you're saying, Mitzrayim, is it provides Shemira. When we have the mezuzah there, it provides, not to remind us, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is protecting over the house and everyone in the house, it's some level of Shemira. Like,
yeah, is that what you're saying about
it? Yeah. But I'm just saying, Pashup Shot, again, I imagine many of us make this connection to the Mitzrayim. I imagine they do. But just simple level, it's either because it's supposed to remind us when we go in and out, or it provides a Shemira for us. And then both of them are found in the Gemara. Question is which, or both, which of the reasons do you take? So the Ritva writes, is Machlokas Rishonim, he quotes Machlokas Rishonim, and it goes beyond the Ritva, whether the Chiyuv of a mezuzah on a shar, on a gate, is a Chiyuv deraisa, a Chiyuv derbanan. Pashas says it's a Chiyuv deraisa, the Pasuk says of Sharecha, but there are other Rishonim who say, and really it's only a din derbanan. So Amalei Abaye says, Amar by the Rav Safra, Hani Avula de Mechuza, this particular area, which was had a gate, the gates of the city called Mechuza, and Rashi, look at Rashi, Avula de Mechuza, three lines down, Shari Ir, Sheshma Mechuza, the city was called Mechuza, Vahaya Ruban Yisrael, and they had most Jews living there, most of the people living there were Jews. So back to the Gemara now, my time lo avdulu Ruban Mechuza, why did that gate not have, this was a gate, it was a city, it was most Jews, we'll see in a second what the significance of Rov Yisrael are. So, why was there no mezuzah there? So Amalei, Hanu Chazuk Laakra Dechuvahu Davidu. Hanu, those, that gate was Chazuk, was there to strengthen Laakra Dechuva, was to, there was a, what do they call it in English? An arch. They're trying to hold up an arch. It was made. It wasn't made for the Pesach, for the entrance. There happened to be an entrance, but it was made for the arch. So let's say those, the aqueducts that have, like, they're holding the water on top, and then these arches. Arches are not there to go underneath it. They're there to hold up the water on top. So this, that gate was not necessarily for an entrance, although it may have been used for an entrance. It was primarily used for to hold something above it. So that's the reason why it didn't have one. So the Gemara responds, what do you mean? Amalei va'akra dekuba gufa tibay muzuzah deha is beidira l'shomer beis asurim. But you mean, but if you go into this gate, though, there was a jail there on the bottom, I think, and the jail, the people who, person who watched over the jail lived there, so it also served as an entrance to somebody living there. So it had double purpose. So it was a dual-purposed arch for the top and for the bottom, so it should require a mezuzah for the person protecting, watching over the jail. The Hatanya, the Brisa tells us, that basic knesset sheyesh bo beis dira l'chazan haknesset, so there's a shul that has a little room where the chazan would sleep over, chayaves b'mezuzah.
But basic knesset in general don't have mezuzah.
Midiraisa, a basic knesset does not require. Nowadays, every shul has. If that's in the custom, one would say because we eat and drink in the shuls, we have the hall downstairs. But midiraisa, it only would require one if somebody lives there, actually.
So we Midirabanan.
Well, no, Midiraisa, if somebody lives there, Midiraisa
you
require.
Midirabanan you require.
Right.
Shul. So anyway, you must have.
Either way, you must have. Yeah. Nowadays, that's been the exception. Yeah. With Midirabanan or simply a minhag, might even be only a minhag, but it's a well-established minhag. I don't think you would say bracha on putting mezuzah up in the shul. Unless you tie it that it has people eating there.
But you must have mezuzah.
Again, it wouldn't be the end of the day if you did. Today's.
In today's days, every shul has
mezuzah. Every shul has mezuzah, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, says the Gemara now. So clearly, although you're right, the arch was holding up what was above it, it was also used as the entrance to the base dira that was below it as well. So why is there no mezuzah again in this place of avulei de mechuzah? So El Amar Abaye explains as follows: Mishum sakana. There was a sakana. What kind of sakana? So he says the Tanya. Let's look at Rashi first. He says the mishum sakana. Shelo yomar hamelach shav kshefim asisim b'shai iri. So people are going to say, oh, they're doing kshefim. They're doing some type of witchcraft. What are they doing in the doorposts here? And what's the sakana? So we saw sakana already mentioned in Pesachim, the first parak, all in the beginning, that they're concerned that we're doing kshefim, akshefa, they're going to kill us for doing that. That was the sakana. So the Tanya says the Brisa are continuing just to explain the idea of there as being a sakana. Mezuzah yachid, an individual's mezuzah nivdek is pa'mayim b'shivu, twice every 7 years, and this is the halacha. You're supposed to check your mezuzahs twice every 7 years. The shalrabim pa'mayim b'yovel, and the rabim's mezuzah is checked every 49 years, or twice every 49 years. Rabbi Huda goes on to say, Maisa bar taftin echad. There's a story about a person, or it could have been a Rashi. It's either the name of a person or the name of some type of profession. But there's a story about him. Shehaya bodeg mezuzas b'shuch elyon shel tzipori. He was checking the mezuzah on the upper marketplace in Tzipori. Umatu kasdar echad, and there's a particular minister from the government who had saw him doing this. And he fined him, took away 1,000 zuz from him. That's the case. So that was sakana. So this wasn't quite a sakana taking the money away, but this minister was, let's say, nicer. He only took money away. The next tsar may have hurt him or killed him even. So we see there's a sakana because people get in danger when they check the mezuzah of the rabbim. So that's why this avulum de mechuzah did not have a mezuzah because it was a sakana that was there. So the Gemara just goes on to say, Rabbi Elazar, we saw this already a couple of times, I think, in Pesachim. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shluchei Mitzvah Ein Nizakin. What do you mean? He was checking the mezuzah. He was doing a mitzvah of checking the mezuzah. And the concept is, Shluchei Mitzvah, somebody who's on the way to do perform a mitzvah, and even on the return back, he doesn't get damaged. So why did this person get damaged? Why did he get lose his money? Says the Gemara, Heicha the Kviya Hezekah Shiny. When there's established a real strong reason that there's going to be damage, so then you can't rely on that. Only in a place where there's no concern that it might be Hezek, then you can say Shluchei Mitzvah Einu Nizakin. But when there's almost a guaranteed that there's going to be Nezek involved, you can't trust the Shluchei Mitzvah Einu Nizakin. How do you see that? The Chassid says the Pasuk, Vayomer Shmuel, Eich Alach, how will I go to anoint David HaMelech king? The Shamashal, Shaul's going to hear, Vahargeni, he's going to kill me. So Shmuel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel to go out and anoint David HaMelech to be king. And Shmuel responds back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in danger, I can't do that. Oh, you're right, I told you I have a mitzvah to listen to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but B'makom Hezek, it's B'makom Hezek Shechichi, when it's very common to find that Nezek, when Shaul will hear and kill me, I can't do that. I can't even listen to you, Hashem. So V'yomer Hashem, Hashem said, Eglas Bakar Tikach, B'yadcha, and take a cow with you. V'amars L'zvach L'Hashem Basi. You say, are you going to bring a carbon? This way Shaul won't ask any questions, and you bring a carbon. And by way of doing that, you're able to find David HaMelech and to anoint him to be king. So a couple of things come from this little piece here. Oh, I just saw a beautiful Torah Tamimi yesterday. I wanted to say, I didn't write it down though. Okay, I was talking about Yosef, and Yaakov sent Yosef to go look for the brothers. I can't remember what it was. Okay, it was a very good piece. It was a good real connection to the daf, but okay, I forgot. So fine. On this piece, though, there are a number of interesting things that come up. Firstly, if you look at Rashi, we said before, Ruban Yisrael, what's the significance of Rashi saying that the city of Avulei Mechuzah, most of them were Jews? So the big machlokas, the Rashash asks, what do you mean? If you say that when there's partners, let's say a Jew and a non-Jew are living together, the partners, and b'shutvis with a guy, there's a chiv to have a mezuzah, so who cares whether Rov Yisrael or not Rov Yisrael, as long as there's a Jew living in the city and living in the house, so you have to be chayiv mezuzah. What's the difference whether Rov or not? And if you say that shutvis are pater from mezuzah, when it's a Jew and a non-Jew, who cares if Rov Yisrael, that you're pater either way? It should have nothing to do with the amount of Jews that are there. That's what Rashash's question is. But the simple answer is, the Gvuras Ari, who's the Shagas Aryeh, his Chedushim and Yuma, he says, no, it really depends. If it's Mechsa Mechsa, or if it's Rov Yisrael, Einachnami Yerchaev. And if it's Rov are them are Nachrim, then you're in fact your pater. So it comes up often. I know Adam and I lived in Queens. We lived in those garden houses, right? So you walk into this two-level apartments. So the front door opens up to two different apartments. Where I was living, the upstairs neighbors weren't Jewish. So the question is, do you have to put a mezuzah on the front entrance that entered into two different houses? So the psak is, depends, that rov who's most. So at the time, we had, first we had three kids, right? One kid, me, my wife, and my first daughter, and upstairs had a total of four. So they were winning 4-3. Then later, we ended up having another kid while we were in the apartment, so it became 4-4. It was even, so I had to put a mezuzah up at that point.
It's based on the bottom, it's based on the people in each bias.
I think so. It goes based on the population, I think so. Based on the Deacon Rashi, at least, it's Reuben Yisrael, but based on the actual numbers, not the houses. So you're saying, let's say, an apartment building, let's say. You're saying, let's say, they're most, let's say, the more Jewish apartments, but more non-Jewish kids. That'd be the nafka mina.
What happens if you put, even though you're not required by that statement, it's most or non-Jewish, and you do put in a building, in an apartment building, a mezuzah, which most are not Jewish, is that not allowed? Or this?
Good question. I don't think it would be not allowed. I think it probably would be allowed, and perhaps someone would even say, why not do it? As long as there's no concern. Another concern is always that they may take it off, and they might damage it. If there's a concern that they'll see it and damage it, then you don't put it on. So I don't think you'd say bracha in such a case, but there might not be anything lost by putting it up anyways. Might add, if anything. Now, if you look at Rashi...
In Israel, it's such a thing that people put mezuzahs out on the car.
I've seen.
And they drive in Shabbos.
That's why.
That allows them to.
One will cancel out the other.
So if you look at Rashi, where he talks about the checking of the... Why do you check twice every 7 years? He says, Nivdekes... Says Rashi, Shema Nirkava O Nigneva. Why do you have to check? To make sure that it didn't either get stolen or to make sure that it didn't start wearing off, the ink didn't start wearing off. And in fact, this does, it's very common. When I moved from my apartment, from my Queens apartment to here, my house in Woodmere, so I just checked my mezuzahs. The person who we bought from, we left a few. We happened to have a couple extra ones. I don't know why we had a couple extra ones. So I just checked the mezuzah on my own. And one of the dinim of mezuzah is, it has to have sirta, it's these lines, these straight lines. You look at a mezuzah and a klaf that go across. And my mezuzah, one of the mezuzahs, had no sirta. It was completely, and that's pasal on a mezuzah. So these things begin to wear off. There's a machlokas whether or not, if there were sirta in the beginning, then the sirta wore off afterwards, whether that works or not. But these things do wear off, and certainly the ink also wears off. So Rashi says the concern is you have to check it to make sure it wasn't stolen and it wasn't start wearing off. According to this, the Chassam Sofer has a big, big kula. He says, according to this, any stam person, I could go and check my own mezuzahs. I'm not checking to make sure the letters are written the right way. We assume you bought a kosher when it was kosher. I could just look. Is it wearing off the ink or is it not wearing off? Is it stolen or is it not stolen? Chassam Sofer says you could do it on your own. Don't have to spend money to send to the sofer every single time. You could check it. If you start seeing it's wearing off, then you could ask a shiloh. So that's a big heter. And then another Rashi here. Rashi says, Pamaim biyovel, the reason why do you only do it two times when it comes to a rabbim's mezuzah? Why do you only do it two times over 49 years? Shouldn't there be the same concern that it gets stolen, perhaps even more of a concern that it gets stolen when it's a public mezuzah? So Rashi says here, Pamaim biyovel, kol davar shehu sharabim, ein la triach alav harbe. So we don't do too much tircha, too much obligations on the tzibur, because... quoting a Gemara in an Erevin here, that if there's so much tircha, everyone's going to say, I'm not going to do it, you do it, you do it. No one's going to take responsibility. It's twice every 49 years, so someone's going to step up to the plate and they'll take care of it. That's the reasoning of the Rashi. And other Rishonim say, no, it's because of a sakana. We said before there's a sakana when you check the, that's pashas, is the sakana. You check the mezuzah in the public and you get caught, you're in big trouble. So only do it twice every 49 years so you don't get yourself in any trouble. Okay. Says the Gemara now, Tani Rav Kahana Kame de Rav Yehuda. Beis HaTeven is like a storage house of grains, I assume. Ubeis HaBakar, a cattle house. Ubeis HaEitzim, a place where they would store wood. Ubeis HaEltros, other storage houses. Ptur min HaMezuzah. These places are Pater min HaMezuzah. Because the women would be neosim. What does neosim mean? Umay neosos, rochtos. They would wash in these places, they would clean themselves. Rashi says neosos is lashon of noya, beautify themselves. So since these places, you look at Rashi, my neosos rochtos, neosos lashon hana. Umishum demakum genaihu, shom de shamarum. They stand there undressed, ain kavod shemaim, yos shamazuzah. We don't place a mezuzah on those places because there'd be rochtos there. So I'm lay Rav Yehuda time of the rochsos only because they wash here. This by the way, this gemara is gonna be a little bit confusing. So let's take it slow. Time of the rochsos only because they wash there in these areas is there p'turim in the mezuzah, hostama. If just a stam case where they don't necessarily wash there, a stam based heaven, a stam based abakar, chayavim, you would be chayav to put mezuzah in these places. But doesn't the Brisa say refes bakar p'turim in the mezuzah? How do they define refes bakar? That's
stable.
A stable. What's the difference between refes bakar versus beis bakar? Tosus has something.
One was said a barn.
Barn.
Beis bakar, they had barn, and this one they have stable.
Uh huh. Okay, so look at Tosus has some type of distinction here. Look at Tosus have atanya refes bakar v'turim in mezuzah. There's tamali lema tihe ayri kishanashin rochus bo. When the Gemara had a question, it said, across the board, a refes beis bakar is certainly patur min mezuzah. Why don't you just say that brisa says there's a particular case where women would wash in those cases. And it's no different than beis bakar. Beis bakar is patur when women wash in them, and say refes bakar is also patur only when women wash in them. Why didn't the Gemara say it's only a case of washing? Why did it seem to give the impression that across the board, every single situation, a refes bakar is patur? V'yei Shlomer Tosus answers, Refes Bakar ain't Hanashim Rochtas. They don't wash in the Refes Beis Bakar. Because the Dafka Beis Bakar, only the Beis Bakar, only, let's use your term, the English terms, they won't wash in a stable, they only wash in a barn. Dila'el, the Hainu She'asa Lebakar. Aval ain't Ma'amidim Ba'behemos Bekfias. So there in the barn, there's not always animals that are always going to be living in the barn. So therefore, Nashim are willing to be Rochtas Ba. Now, Refes Bakar, which is a stable, which always had horses in it, let's say. Mashmash omid ba bakar bikvias, vimuluchlach bezevel bakar is very dirty, ain't a nashim rochsas ba. So somehow there's a difference, whether barn or stable are the right terms. One of them is the base of bakar is where sometimes there'll be animals there, and refes bakar is where there are always animals there.
Why are they willing to begin with in such places?
Beats me. I don't know. They didn't have proper showers and plumbing system like we have, so they took water and just cleaned themselves wherever they found the sneeze place, I guess.
With the animals.
Right. Well, no, a barn, I guess, didn't always have animals in them, so that was a place to go wash. So either way, the Gemara asks, though, so it sounds from here that only reason why Beis HaBakar is Patur min HaMezuzah is because we know that women wash there. But if women did not wash there, it would be Chayiv, but the Brisa says otherwise, that Refes Bakar is Patur min HaMezuzah, even if the women don't wash there. So Ella Mai Neosos, we misinterpreted Neosos. Neosos doesn't mean they get washed, they rather means miskashjos. They get dressed, they put on perfume, they put on makeup, they get dressed there, not that they wash there. So Vahachi Katani, this is how you read the Brisa. Afa Pisha Nasha Miskashos Behen Peturim. The way it's read is as follows. The Beis HaBakar, even though they put on perfume here. And even though they do things that are normal activities, which you think maybe they should be chayv mezuzah now, despite the fact they're still pater, and it goes, it's consistent with the other brisa that says refes beis habakar is pater min mezuzah. So I'm lay Rav Kana, usha nashim miskashas behen p'turin. Is it really true that if the women were to adorn themselves in these places, they're pater? V'atanya, we have another brisa that says refes bakar p'turin min mezuzah. However, shanashim miskashas ba chayeves b'mezuzah. But we say if it's a case where the woman actually does adorn herself and get dressed and put on perfume there, in fact, she will be chayev, the place will be chayev b'mezuzah. So this doesn't work out well either. It's elamayis l'chalamemar. What's there to say? Miskashos tanai. It's really machlokas tanai in a case where a woman were to put on perfume and makeup in these areas, will it be chayev b'mezuzah or will it be patur b'mezuzah? That's machlokas tanai.
It doesn't fit to shari batim, shari chatzerot, shari medinot, shari aerot. It's refet. It's bet otzarot.
No, but the other dinner. No, it's part of beischa, your house. Uh-huh. It's a beis adira. You do certain things, uses of a house, type of uses, so then it has a din of a bias.
I see.
So really, again, it's a machlokas tonight whether a case in these Beis HaBakar, where women were to be miskashos, where they would adorn themselves, whether or not these are chayiv mezuzah or not. Okay, so let's see the machlokas tonight. Lididi, according to me, nami stama tanahi. According to me, even a stam case, forget a case knowing whether she, you know, puts perfume there or not. A stam beis habakar is a machlokas tanaim. Who's speaking right now? Who's lididi?
This was a continuation from the prior line. So
yeah.
Just like according to you, miskashos is a tanai. Same thing for me. Refus bakar has to be a tanai.
Ah, okay, I see. So according to you, I see. Very good. According to you, that you have to, you're forced into a corner that you have to therefore say, because there's a steer in prices, miskashos is a machlokas tanaim. So too, according to me, stam pesa bakar is also a machlokas tanaim. You're right, there's a steer in prices, but that's because there's a machlokas tanaim, whether or not pesa bakar is chayv and mezuzah. So again, ela maistachal memar, miskashos tanahi. So the dinami stamma tanahi, according to me also, there's a machlokas tanaim by stam pesa bakar. The tanya says the brisa, beischa, what does beischa mean? Beischa hamiyuchad. Beisecha miyuchad lecha. So it has to be a beisecha, your house that's miyuchad to you, that's only yours. Prat le beis ha-tevin, ul beis ha-bakar, ul beis ha-etzim, to exclude all these cases, ul beis ha-otos, shepetur minimizuza. All these cases are actually pater because they're not, people don't live there. V'yesh b'chayivim, however, there are those who are b'chayiv in such cases. So we see there's a machlokas, whether or not a beis ha-tevin, a beis ha-bakar, chayiv or pater minimizuza. Be'emes Amro, in truth it was stated, this is part of the Brisa, continuing. Beis HaKisei, u'beis HaBursiki, a landing, a tanning salon. Beis, not the way we have it, really like leather tanning. Beis HaMerchatz, they play a bathhouse. Beis HaTrila, all those, v'shanashim, n'osos behen, all those cases are p'tur minimizaza. So now Rav Kana, Metarit L'tameh, Rav Yehuda, Metarit L'tameh. Each of these, Amaram, are going to explain the Brisa according to their liking. So Rav Kahana is going to explain Metarit L'tameh, Beisecha means Beisecha Hamyucha L'cha, a house that's exclusive to you. Prat L'beis HaTevin, U'l'beis HaBakar, U'l'beis HaEitzim, U'l'beis HaOtros, Shep Tumen Mezuzah. All those cases are not Miyucha to you. They're storage houses. They're not places where you live. They're all Pater. Bistam, in a Stam case, they're Pater. V'yesh M'chayivim Bistam, and those who are B'chayiv in these cases, in a Stam. Be'emes Amru, has he read the second half of the Brisa? Beis HaKisei, Beis HaBurski, Beis HaMerchatz, Beis HaTvila, Shanashim Neosos Behem, Umay Neosos Rochtos, in these cases where a woman were to wash in any of these houses, whether it's a bathhouse, whether it's a bathroom, whether it's a tefila, all these cases are Ptur Min HaMezuzah. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, Ihachi Hainu Merchatz. If you're going to explain that all the cases that Beis HaTvila and Beis HaBurski are places where a woman washes in them, so why does the Brisa list separately Beis HaMerchatz? Isn't that in essence the same thing? Whether you're saying a base tefillah where a woman washes it and a base burski where a woman washes in it, isn't that the same thing as a base of merchatz? So why is base of merchatz singled out? Again, ihachi hainu merchatz. So Ashmina and the Gemara teaches us merchatz the rabbin, Vashmina and merchatz the yachid. We're teaching both because there are two different types of base of merchatz. There's a base of merchatz, an individual base of merchatz, a personal one's house, a bathroom, and then there's a public bathhouse. So what's the chiddush? What's the difference? They're both the case where a woman washes in them. Explains the Gemara, the Saka Daita Chamina, Merchatz Derabim Denafish Zuhuma, a bathhouse of the public. Of course, there's a lot more gross and dirtiness, sweat going on there, so that certainly would be Pater and Mezuzah. But Merchatz Diyachid, a person's private bath, Delo Nafish Zuhuma, it's not so dirty. Emel Chayim Mezuzah, maybe you should be Chayim Mezuzah. Kamash Mullah, no, they're Pater even in such a case. And this is how Rav Kana explains this price now. Now Rav Yehuda explains differently. Rav Yehuda, Metarit L'tameh, he says very differently. Hachi Katani, this is how you read the Brisa. Beisecha, Beisecha Chamyucha Lecha, a house that's exclusive to you. Pratla Beisa Tevin, Beisa Bakar, Beisa Eitzim, Beisa Otsos, Shriptum and Mezuzah, Afilu Miskatzos. He interprets these cases not as a Stam case, as even if they are getting dressed in these areas and adorning themselves in these areas, they're still going to be Pater. V'yesh Mechayevim Miskatzos, and there are those who chayev it in a case where they are putting perfume on. Aval Stam, Diver Kol Pater. But in a Stam case, everybody agrees you're Pater. As opposed to if Kana thought the Stam case was the Machlokas, he thinks Stam case, everybody agrees Pater. Machlokas is when they start using it for getting themselves dressed. Be'emes Amru, when he reads the second half of the Brisa, Beis HaKisei, Beis HaBurski, Beis HaMerchatz, Beis HaTvila, Afal Pisha, Nashim, Miskashish, Behem, Ptur, Minim, Mezuzah, Mishim, Denafish, Zuhuma. Okay, so what comes out is Machlokas Rav Kahana, Rav Yehuda, how to read these brises, and the Machlokas boils down to, is there Machlokas about Stam Beis HaBakar, or is it Machlokas about Miskatshos? And that's how you read these two different brises. Okay, let's go, actually, let's talk about this for a second. Now, Beis HaBakar, so again, there's Machlokas, how to read the brises here exactly. There's a Rambam who writes, in Hilchos Rotzeach, he talks about the obligation to put a makeh, a fence on the roof. A person has a flat roof that can be accessed by a person. There's a chiv deraisa, a mitzvah deraisa, to place a fence around the roof. And the pashup shad of the psukim are is to make sure nobody falls off. Chas v'shalom. So writes the Rambam that in a Beis HaBakar, if you have a flat roof, there's no need to place a makya on top of the roof. The rabbi comes along and says, no, certainly there is. It's called a bias. You have to place a makya on top of the Beis HaBakar. So explains the Kesa Mishnah that it really is telling our sugi here. How do you paskin? If you paskin, because what's the chiv? You have to play, the pasuk says you have to place a makah and a bias. So if you say, based on the Gemara, you paskin, then a base of bakar is considered a bias, and that's chayv mezuzah. So mainly your chayv also to put a makah on top of the roof. If you paskin, though, it's pasim and a mezuzah, that we don't consider base of bakar a house, it's not a house, then you'd be potter from putting a fence on top as well. So Shulchan Aruch comes out very interestingly. Shulchan Aruch writes, which would be counterintuitive, he says that your chayv and mezuzah on a Beis HaBakar, but you're putter in placing a fence on top of the roof. I would have thought the other way around. If anything, place a fence on top of the roof because it's dangerous, and putter from a mezuzah if you want to make a split. So the Sma, one of the Mefarshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, explains as follows. He says, because a mezuzah, a Beis HaBakar is always being used for going in and out, people who work there. So you're always going, it's tumid, you always see the mezuzah. But the relevance of the fence will be very uncommon because no one lives there. If nobody's living there, nobody's going on the roof really, so therefore you're exempt. It's more about the percentages. So for that reason, the Shulchan Aruch says, when it comes to the roof, no one's really living there and no need for the roof. But it comes to using it, everybody's using the Beis HaBakar, you need a mezuzah on the house, on the Beis HaBakar rather going in and out, therefore you're chayv.
You need the mezuzah
on the Beis HaBakar? The Rabbi passes mid. So the question is, how is the Shulchan Aruch, how he's machriya? That's the question. It's really, l'chora.
It seems hard to machriya that midoraisi you're chayv and a mezuzah. But still we go on the percentages of mind.
Right, so you probably have to say, really, it's potter. It's a chumrah to add a mezuzah. Now, I'm not sure why the Shulchan Aruch wouldn't just say chumrah midin sakana to place a fence on top of the roof as well. Okay. Let's go weiter now. It says the Gemara on the bottom, Ulurav Yehuda, stama divya kol potter. Is that really true according to Rav Yehuda? A stam based at heaven to everybody is going to be potter. V'hatani, the Brisa says, b'sharecha, Echad shari batim, echad shari chaseros, echad shari medinos, echad shari ayaros, refes, lululin, mitevin, rotos, yain, rotos, shemen. All those cases included in them is the refes. All of them are chayavin v'mezuzah. And the Brisa continues. We've seen already there's a stira now in Rav Yehuda, but before getting to the stira, the Brisa continues. Yachol shani marbe. One might think af beis shari achsadja umar peset. I would include even the gate of an achsadja. How would you say that in a vestibule or something? A vestibule in.
They say portico.
Okay, a portico, even that would require, or even marpeset, some type of a patio, or would require one also. Tamalomer bias a house, ma bias miyucha ledira. That's what elashein miyucha ledira has to be a bias that has some type of use a person lives in. But a shari achsadja, and a marpeset, people don't really do dira types of activities there. So Yachol, maybe one might think Shani Mar Baf Beis Akisei, Beis Aburski, Beis Amerchatz, Beis Atvila, a bathroom, a leather a tanning place, a bathhouse, and a Beis Tvila. One might think maybe those should also require a mezuzah. Tamlomer Bais, my Bais Asa LeKavod Af Kolhas. So the Kavod has to be a place of honor. Bathroom and Beis Tvila is certainly not a place of honor, so therefore it's exempt from mezuzah. So Yachol, maybe one might think Shani Mar Be'af Har Bayis Valishchos Valzaros, all the different parts of again these areas. Tamlor Bayis Ma Bayis Shuchol Af Kol Shuchol has to be a place of Chol, not a place of Kadosh Hekdesh. Yatzur Elu Shein Kodesh Tiyufta. So this is the whole long Bryce. The reason why we brought the Bryce though was to pull that particular line in the beginning that although Rabbi Huda held that Stam Refes Abakar is Pater, this Bryce clearly goes against Rabbi Huda and clearly says that Refes Beis HaBakar, Stam case is Chayavim.
But we already said when Rabbi Huda is Machlokes tonight.
Exactly. So one might say that the fact that Bryce does not present the other opinion might indicate that it's the only one, but yeah, I had the same problem. assuming anybody says anything on this. Okay, yes, I don't see anybody right now who answers that. Okay. Still trying to think of that case of the connection to the parsha of the Hezek shining. Okay. I owe you guys that one. Okay, Tani, the Brisa says, Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamei D'Rava Shisha Sharim P'tur Min HaMezuzah. There are six gates that are exempt from putting a mezuzah on. Beis HaTevin, Beis HaBakar, Beis HaEitzim, Beis HaOtzos, Vishari Madai, Vishar She'enu Mekora, Vishar She'enu Gavoa Yud. So a few of them we saw already. We saw the first few already we saw. But the last couple we didn't. That a gate that doesn't have a ceiling and a gate that doesn't is not 10 Tfachim tall. So if you look at Rashi, if you look at Rashi She'enu Mekora, this is five lines down from the top. She'enu Mekora, Shu Parts Milamala Lagamre Me'in Kisa. There's no covering at all on top of it. Just two doorposts and nothing on top. The Ritva says, no, there's also a, what do you call the top one again? The
lintel?
Yes. The lintel was there, but there's no wall or ceiling on top of that. It was just a frame of a door. You like walk in, but it wasn't connected. Rashi says, no, if Rashi seems to indicate if there was that lintel on top, it would be chayiv. But it's a case where that wasn't even, just simply doorposts hanging there, nothing on top. That's a case where you're pater from a mezuzah. So the Toz Menachos asks, so why is it different than a gate of a chatzer? A gate of a chatzer doesn't have a ceiling on top of it. The Ritva says, if it has a lintel and the doorpost, you're pater, according to the Ritva. Lintel. The lintel and the doorpost, so according to the Ritva, you're pater. But Toz asks, what do you mean? And we spoke before about a shar, gate of a chatzer. The gate of a chatzer is chayv in mezuzah, even though it doesn't have like a wall going on top of it, it's simply a doorway. So he says, no, the difference is because each one's kedarko. When it comes to a shar, a gate, so the gates, the way the gates are made, with just simply a door frame. The way in a house it's made is part of a wall and something above that. So if you simply have a lintel and the doorposts in a house without something on top of it, you'd be pater. As opposed to in a chatzer, you would be chayv, because each one is the way it's normally done. Okay, let's go weiter now. So says the Gemara, Amr Lei, Shahamada, Amr Lei, Pisachta B'Shisha, V'Salkas B'Shiva. You introduce the Brisa by saying, there are six cases that are part of the mezuzah. If you do some quick math, there are actually seven, and they're listed. So why are there seven, and although you only said there are going to be six? Amr Lei, Shahamada, Tanahi. The case of Shahamada is a Machlokas Tanahim. Since it wasn't accepted by everybody, we only listed six. And there might be seven according to some. What's the machlokas about Shar HaMadai? The Tanya, the Brisa says, Kippa, which was the dome, a dome type of a case, an archway, Rabbi Meir Mechayiv, Mezuzah V'Chacham Potrim. Rabbi Meir is Chayiv to place a mezuzah on the arch, and Chamer Potrim from placing a mezuzah on the arch. V'Shavim, they're both in agreement, however, Shim Yesh Baragla Asara, if the doorposts are straight for 10 Tfachim high, and then it starts to arch on top, Shechayaves B'Mezuzah. Everybody agrees in such a case, you're chayv mezuzah. So Amar Abaye says, "D'choyama gavo yud ve'em bragla gimel v'lav klumhi." Everybody agrees. If let's say the archway from top to bottom is only 10 tefachim, and the legs where it's straight is only 3 tefachim, and then it starts to arch, everybody will agree. You're not chayv anything. Inami yish biragla gimel ve'en gavo yud v'lav klumhi. Let's say the doorposts have 3 tefachim high; they're straight, and then it arches beyond that. But the total height from the bottom to the top of the archway is not 10. Everybody will agree there also that there's not a chayiv mezuzah. Lo nechlaku ela begavoa yud has to be 10 tefachim high, the whole archway. V'yesh beragla gimel, and the doorposts have to be at least 3 tefachim high straight before it starts to arch. That's the machlokas. V'ein berach v'dalid, and the width, however, is not 4 tefachim wide. So again, a typical doorway has to be 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high. So this case is an archway where it's 10 tefachim high, the legs are 3 tefachim straight, and then it starts to curve. That's the situation. But it's not 4 tefachim wide when it starts to get to the top. It starts, let's say, at 4 tefachim, and then it starts to get narrow at the top. So at the top, it's much less than 4 tefachim here. So what's the machlokas now? The machlokas is as follows. The yesh ba lachuk lashlima larba. Now in this archway, there's enough room to chisel out some of the stone or the wood to make it 4 tefachim wide if you want. You could make it a nice box if you wanted. There's enough room there to do that. So that's machlokas. Reb Meir Savar Chokigin Lahashlim, that since the potential is there, you can, we view it as if it's a full Pesach. And Rabban Savri Ein Chokigin Lahashlim, we don't say this concept of since it's a potential to do it, to chisel out four Tvachim, we don't view it that way, and therefore you're Pater. So again, just to explain one more time. You have an entranceway, which has two doorposts on each side, which are three Tvachim high, straight. Then it begins to arch. Now the arch stops at the point where it's 10 Tvachim from top to bottom. But the whole Pesach, the whole doorway, is not four Tvachim wide. The question is there any extra wood or stone on the outside that, in theory, you could chisel out to make the whole thing four Tvachim wide? If there's enough, Reb Meir says, you could view that as a Pesach and your Chayiv Mezuzah. If there's, Reb Chaim say, no, as long as you haven't done that, even though you can do it, there's enough wood to chisel out. If you didn't do it, you're Pater from a Mezuzah. That's a Machlokas. Okay, let's go weiter now. Tanur Rabbanan, says the Gemara, based on Knesset, so based on Isha, or based on Shutvin, Chayeves b'mezuzah. These places, a shul, a place where a woman lives, and a partnered house, there's Chayev in a mezuzah. Shita is a Pashut. Ma'od the Tema, what would you have thought, since it says Beisecha, lo Beisa, your house, but not her house, you would think she's Pater. It says Beisecha, v'lo Bateim, Kamash Malam, it says your house, but not partners' houses, you should therefore be Pater. Kamash Malan, the Brisa teaches us that no, in fact, a Beis HaShutvin, in fact, is Chayv in a Mezuzah. Veima HaChanami, what do you mean? Say, what's the proof? Just because a Brisa says it, there's no Pasuk, the Pasuk goes against it. The Pasuk says, a Beis Echa is Chayv, not a woman's house, and not a partner's house. What's the proof that from the Deraisa, that these places are, in fact, Chayv in a Mezuzah? Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Laman Yibri Mechem, Yimei Binechem, in order that you should be able to, the Mezuzah is there for you to live and for your children to live. Hani Bai Chayiv, Hani Lo Bai Chayiv? That only men require life, but women don't require life. They also require life. They also have to live. So therefore, they also chayav in mezuzah. To ela beisach alamli. So what does the pasuk teach me when it says beisach? There must be a drasha. It's not coming to exclude partners' houses. It's not coming to exclude a woman's house. So ela so says rava kidi rava. The amar rava derech biyascha has to be in the way you enter into the house. V'chi akar inish kray di yamina akar bereisha. When a person walks in to your house, so the way you walk into your house is with your right foot first. The right foot, when you look to the right, it's a good marketing thing also. People always look to the right, so you place the mezuzah on the right side. That's learned out from the word beischa, biascha. Your entrance into the house is always with the right foot. Mezuzah on the right side, the right doorpost. The post can say that Mordechai writes, even if a person's a lefty, anybody here lefties? So do lefties necessarily walk with their left foot first? I'm not sure if that necessarily correlates, but if a person, let's say, does walk with his left foot always first, that's always his initial step he takes when playing basketball, let's say, more comfortable that way, still the chiv is always to put it on base in the Rov Olam, which is the right side of the right doorpost. Tani Idach, there's another brayser that says, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaShutvin, Beis HaIsha, Mitamin V'Negam. These different houses, the same three houses we mentioned above, are in fact going to be Tameh with Negam, Tameh with Taras. If Taras is found on any of these houses, they will be subject to the Dinim of Taras. Pshita, that's also obvious. These things are houses. The Pasuk says, if you find Nega on your house, it's going to be subject to the Dinim of Mitzorah. What's the Chiddush? So Mal the Tema, what would you have thought? Uba Asher Lo HaBayis Lo, you go into the house that is his, Lo V'Lo Lo. His, but not hers. So hers shouldn't be Chayiv in Taras. Lo V'Lo Lahen. His individual one, and not one that's partnered. Kamashman, the Brisa tells us that no, the house of a woman and the house of a partner is subject to the Dinim of Nigam. Gemara says, Ve'im HaChanami. Maybe say, who said otherwise? Maybe say it's really true. Maybe they really are exempt. It's a nice pasuk, a nice drasha. What's the pasuk? What's the source that a house of a woman and a house of partners are chayiv in the dinim of negayim? So Amar Kra, the pasuk says, bebeis eretz achuzaschem. In the house of the land of your achuzaschem. Achuzaschem means partnered houses. Achuzaschem in the plural. And somehow through that, we're also able to learn that a woman's house is also subject to negayim. What's the connection of that? Because this pasuk only proves to us partners. How does it prove to us that a house of a woman is also subject to negayim? They say it as follows. So once we use achuz aschem, it tells me that the word lo should not be taken literally. Once we say the word lo shouldn't be taken literally, that we're including partners, memele, we could also include a woman's house as well that's subject to the dinim of negayim. The Gemara asks, well, el lo, lomli. So if lo is not coming to teach me that only a single person's house is chayiv in a mezuzah, so what's the purpose of lo? What's it coming to teach me? Says the Gemara, mish miyachid beis lo, person who's miyachid himself. He's selfish. She'enu wrote to the Hashil Kalev. He doesn't want to lend out his Kalev to anybody else. Ve'omar she'enu akarish baruch hu mefarsimo. And ve'omar she'enu, he says, I don't have anything. Oh, you want to borrow my pots? I have no pots. He's low. It's to him. He's being very exclusive. So this case, akarish baruch hu mefarsimo. Akarish baruch hu publicizes. He makes it known the person has plenty of Kalev in his house. How does he do this? When he's to turn over his house, when the Kohen comes to check everything out, everything has to be removed from the house. And so therefore, such a person, low, person who's so selfish, his house will be subject to, will turn out to have Negaim. Coming to exclude a person who shares, who lends out, such a person will not have his house subject to the Dinim of Negaim. He'll be exempt. The Kadosh Baruch Hu won't make a Nega go on his house. Okay, should we continue with how far? Yeah, let's go to the top line of the next page. Says the Gemara, Beisa Knesses, Mimatame ben Negaim. Is a shul really subject to Negaim? Is that really possible? If you found the Nega on a shul, we have to do all the dinim of Tzaras? Vahatani, the Brisa says, Yachol Yehu Bate Knessios, Bate Medrashos, Mitame ben Negaim. One might think that a shul and a base medrash is subject to Negaim. Tamalomer, the Pasuk says, Uba Ashelo Habais, Mishim Yuchad Lo, Yatsu Elu She'em Yuchad Lo. No, only somebody who it's his, as opposed to shul's, which is not a person's individual house, it's the community's house. So we see a shul and a base medrash, in fact, is not subject to the dinim of negayim. So it's a steer in brises. Gemara says, lo kasha, this is not a question, because ha, Rabbi Meir, ha, Rabbanon. Machlok, not a problem. The Tanya, base haknesses sheish, but base dira l'chazen, haknesses chayim mezuzah. If a shul has a place where the chazan were to live, so then it's considered a beis dira, it's chayv mezuzah. V'shein ba beis dira, if there's no place of living, Remeir mechayv, hacham potrim. So Remeir thinks, even though no one lives in the beis knesses, Remeir thinks you're still chayv in a mezuzah. And the chacham think, no, if no one lives there, you're potrim in a mezuzah. So to here, the same thing will apply. If you think that beis knesses is considered a bias in terms of mezuzah, you're going to consider it a bias in terms of negayim, like Reb Meir. And according to Rabban, however, since just like a beis knesses is patim in a mezuzah, so too it's not subject to the dinim of negayim. That's the first answer the Gemara suggests. Ibai same, alternatively, the Gemara says, ha Rabbanan, both of them are the opinion of Rabbanan. Velo kasha, had is beis tira, had less beis tira. No. One case where the Brisa says it's not subject to Negaim is a case where nobody's living in the shul. It's not a beis dira. The Brisa that says it is subject to Negaim is talking about a shul where the chazan is living in the shul, and therefore it is considered beis dira, and thus being subject to the dinim of Negaim. And a third answer the Gemara says, v'ibai is ema, ha b'had les ba beis dira. No, both cases are talking about a shul where nobody lives there. And v'had de krochim, had de kfarm. There's a difference between a city shul and a village's shul. So you look at Rashi, the top line of Yud Beis Amin Aleph, and this we'll finish with, the krochim, shumakim shvakim, muskabtim sham mekomos harbe. One of these large cities, New York City, everybody's coming to gather together. V'hi asui l'chol habal l'ispal. It's made for everybody coming in. It's like a massive chabad, like the chabad on in Midtown. You used to daven mincha there. Everybody comes flocking there to daven from all over the place. So there, they say, Ein la b'ayla mi'chadim. There is no particular owner. It's for the public. So when nobody owns it, so that's not considered beis dira by any means, and therefore it would be patur from negaim. However, those are the kfarim, the small villages. So Rashi says, kol ba'al of nikarim. Everybody knows who the rightful owners are. Everyone in the part of the community who pays membership, you know who the 20 members of the shul are. Harei hu k'beis ha'shutrim. That's like a partnered house, and that would be subject to the din of beis dira, the halachas of negaim.
Can you summarize the whole thing about the mess again?
Beis Knesses as follows. Depends, the machlokas, but if somebody's living in the shul...
Well, no, what's the connection to Beta Knesset, Mimetame Ben Gaim? So
the halachas as follows. That do we view a Beis Knesses as a Beis Dira or not? If we do view it as Beis Dira, it's subject, it's Chayv Mezuzah, and it's subject to the Dinim of Negaim. And if it's not a Beis Dira, so it's Pat from Mezuzah, and it's Pater from Negaim. So if somebody's living in the shul, it's certainly considered Beis Dira, and it's chayv and mezuzah, and it's pater from negaim. If nobody's living there, it's machlokas. Rabbi Meir thinks it's still considered a beis dira, and chayv and mezuzah, and it's subject to negaim. Rabbanan think, no, it's, no one's living there, it can't be a beis dira, therefore it's pater from mezuzah, and it's not subject to the dinim of negaim.
So it's
machlokas. Well, the ma'aseh we pass on chachamim usually. So the chora, if no one lives there, we pass on that there's no chayv mezuzah, no beis knesses, like we say. The minhag gets to put one there anyways, but I don't think you would say bracha on it.